We're on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, and right now I'm on the phone with Elizabeth Burns Thompson. She is the Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Navigator CO2 Ventures Project. Elizabeth, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us again.
It's great to be back.
So you and I talked in depth at the Iowa State Fair last year about the Navigator Project, and we also talked a little bit about it here at the beginning of the year. But let's go ahead, first of all, before we make your big announcement about who you're partnering with, remind our listeners what the Navigator Project is and what it's going to do to benefit people in this area.
Absolutely. So with the Navigator team is proposing the Heartland Greenway, which is a carbon capture system. Really a dynamic integrated piece of infrastructure that's looking to help a number of processors here across the Corn Belt, but specifically ethanol producers and fertilizer processors, to help reduce the carbon intensity of the end product that they're bringing to market. And as many farmers are seeing as part of their operations, and most of us just in society broadly, you know, carbon continues to be something that we see, hear, and talk about a lot more and more. And so this type of technology is what's going to allow those producers to innovate and continue to be competitive under this, you know, new carbon ecosystem that we're all existing in.
All right, and to that end, now there is another partner on board. Why don't you tell our listeners about that and who is involved now?
Absolutely. So we are very excited this morning to announce an addition to our customer platform right now with the addition of POET and a number of their facilities both across Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. So I would encourage your listeners to go out and look at the website, and hopefully we'll include a map as part of your story as well, Dustin. They can see where all of those facilities then fit within the footprint and the new laterals associated with that. So POET being, you know, the largest ethanol producer here in the country, that's a significant benefit both for our project. And we're looking forward to that partnership and what they bring to the table as part of moving this forward, and what that means also for kind of the evolution of the ethanol industry also moving forward, and the role that carbon capture has as part of that kind of future process of how we go about producing, you know, ethanol here in the Corn Belt.
Now, obviously, having someone like POET, like you mentioned, they're going to have resources they bring to the table. Tell us a little bit about what they can bring to help this project along and what this project is going to, in turn, do to help them, here down the line as well.
Very good point. So as with all the producers that have partnered with us, right, the end value of that being, you know, an increasingly more competitive gallon of ethanol coming to the marketplace. So any facility that adopts carbon capture and storage like what we're proposing here has the potential to reduce that carbon intensity score by upwards of half, which is extremely significant when you're looking at the markets that are, you know, providing valuation based on the carbon intensity of that end product. So that's something that you know, now becomes an opportunity as part of POET, as well as a number of the producers that are part of our project. We do feel privileged to have not only POET, but a number of additional producers, three of the five largest producers of ethanol by gallons across the United States, as well as some incredible standalone facilities, as well as diversification into the fertilizer sector as well, which again, as we talked about before, Dustin, you know, adds that additional value add into, you know, agriculture and farming operations as we're, you know, providing lower carbon intensity inputs into operations that are then providing, you know, lower carbon intensity feedstocks that are then going into these processors that are additionally partnering with us to reap the benefits of that technology kind of in an increasingly cyclical fashion. So very exciting, and we're looking forward to this partnership and continuing to move the project forward.
And now, looking at both the breadth and the scope of this project and, you know, getting it underway, what is the timetable? Where are things at right now with the actual physical deployment of this carbon sequestration, this carbon pipeline?
Sure. So a lot of folks might have come out and attended some of our informational meetings that we had with the Iowa Utilities Board for those that are within the state of Iowa throughout the months of December and January. With this new addition, we will need to do a handful more of those informational meetings. We'll be working with the Utilities Board on getting that schedule pulled together for their review and approval. So we'll be out again in the countryside doing a handful of those. So there'll be additional opportunities for feedback as part of those footprints. moving forward. The team has also kind of simultaneously from December and January up until now been doing a lot of the additional due diligence as part of that routing. So we talked about before that, you know, we start with kind of a corridor of observation and begin to winnow that down based on, you know, largely landowner and community feedback, as well as some of the technical details that are necessary, you know, through surveying. And a lot of that surveying, be it constructability surveys, environmental surveys, cultural surveys, biological surveys, there's a number of facets that we need to evaluate to continue to winnow that down to find the most optimal site for placement of that pipe. A lot of that work and surveying has been taking place and continues to take place. So in addition to, you know, finishing out the surveying work or that continuing to evolve, the second round of IUB meetings as part of the footprint will also, I'm sure there's a lot of landowners out there that are eager to hear kind of what that offer looks like because we've not gone out yet and provided any kind of financial offerings just yet to landowners. So those teams will be doing a lot of that outreach starting, we believe, sometime in July in those areas where we've already had the utility board meetings. The other thing I'd noted as part of that is you know, we listened to the feedback from farmers and landowners as part of those meetings and took that to heart and tried to incorporate as much of that into that compensation package and initial offer that we'll be putting forward here in the weeks and months to come. So looking forward to feedback and hopefully, a great platform to begin those conversations with landowners on something that's fair and equitable and look forward to being good partners.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, with a lot of great information once again on this and on the progress you guys are making. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up today?
No, I'd say, you know, we appreciate the time to be able to continue to talk about and highlight the project and encourage folks that have further questions. We'll be continuing to add additional details about the footprint associated with these phases on the website. So as you've got, you know, questions about maps or anything like that or process, encourage you to reach out. We've got a lot of information on the website and always welcome a phone call or an email, and I'm happy to further those discussions.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, we thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Thanks so much, Dustin.
That's Elizabeth Burns-Thompson with Navigator CO2 Ventures here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.